I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles for a moment to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And as we come into a very difficult topic this morning, a healthy church member seeks discipline. And we know those that are living under persecution and they would probably say, every one of them would say, you know, if we were to ask them, what do they need? And they would just say, I need your prayers. And they would just say, God is refining us through fire. And God is drawing us to be more like Him. And is there anybody in here that wants to be more like God, more like Jesus? That is the calling. That's why we're saved. And we have all kinds of things that hang on to us. We have sins, we have addictions, we have things that we just don't like about ourselves. But how many know in the power of the cross, when Jesus said it is finished, He gives us the power to start a journey. He gives us the power of the resurrection to have changed lives. And no matter what we're going through, and no matter what you're facing right now, I just want to turn your thoughts and attention to Hebrews chapter 12. He says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and what's the cloud? It's people that have been persecuted. It's people that's been sawn in sunder. People that have stepped forward in faith in chapter 11. And he says, we're surrounded with all these people that have gone through it. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow faint or weary or faint-hearted in your struggle against sin. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you not forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him, for the Lord disciplines the one He loves. And He chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness in those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. As a powerful passage of Scripture, and as we talk about this word discipline, many of us think of discipline sometimes in a bad light. Perhaps you've experienced bad forms of discipline, or you might have had parents that disciplined out of anger instead of out of the definition that God gives in His Word, and it's become abusive or harsh. But most of us probably have experienced, we deserve some of the discipline we got. I remember when I was a child, I was probably 3 or 4 years old, and I knew with my parents I couldn't get away with, but Grandma was always so sweet and so nice, so she came over to get me to spend the night. She had this beautiful red Caprice Classic, remember those? And that had a nice big back bouncy seat, and so I thought, Grandma, I'm going to see how far I can push the limits. So I got up out of my seat and I started jumping and around, and Grandma said, sit down, Michael. What is sweet grandma going to do? Well, sweet grandma was a hot rod. She slammed on the brakes. And I hit my head. See what happens when you don't sit down in the car? Well, now we're supposed to wear seat belts. We should have back then, but we didn't. But you see, discipline. We view it in a negative light sometimes, but it's really God's way of saving our life. And God has called us, a healthy church culture is that we are a people that seek after God's discipline. And it comes through our circumstances, and it comes through our brothers and sisters and church leadership in our times of need. But the current culture is telling us, this is what they say, discipline is just a negative form of punishment. Well, I'll tell you, that's not how the Bible defines discipline. Discipline's nothing but abusive, unsafe, and harsh, and it's something to be avoided. Those in a position of authority who attempt to discipline me are controlling, unkind, unloving, unmerciful, and just plain mean. Have you ever thought that of your parents while you were growing up? Besides, what gives them the right? I know better than they do, and I'm my own boss. They can't control me. And this is the generation of I'm my own boss right now. If anyone points out something wrong in me, they're out to get me, or they just don't like me. They got it in for me. So, my mom and dad, they don't. And then that brings kids to say things like, I hate you, mom. I hate you, dad. Because they think that mom and dad hate them because no, when they say no. Problem is nowadays a lot of parents don't say no and aren't fulfilling their role, what God has called them to do. They just let them do what they want to do. And then kids end up destroying their lives later. So parents, what we learn from God in discipline, we bring that out towards our children to save their lives. Because discipline is not only something that restricts our joy and freedom. And we might have thought that at one point in our lives, or might think that now. If it hurts my feelings, or if it's something I don't agree with, it must be wrong. I just don't. And we have church terms for this. I just don't feel the Holy Spirit leading me in that way right now. You know, God's Word says to do it, but we're like, oh, I don't feel the Holy Spirit. No. God's Word says to do it. I don't feel that it's something's just not right about this. It hurts my flesh too much. It kind of hurts my ego too much. So we spurn. So how does God define discipline? Now, that word discipline was mentioned a lot in this passage of Scripture that we were reading this morning. God defines it as the whole in the Greek, the word discipline. In fact, we get the word disciple, as Perry mentioned this morning in our prayer, the word disciple from discipline, because it means training and education of as children. And in the adults, it's what cultivates our soul. And your soul is the center of who you are. That's what makes you you. And so it cultivates our soul. You want to become a better soul, be a better you in Christ. That's what God does discipline for. And it's especially for correcting mistakes. Anybody make any mistakes in their life? I don't have enough hands to hold up. And I'm sure you don't either. We've made plenty of mistakes, but thank God for His grace of discipline. Because right now, you're probably seated where you are right now because of God's work in your life. Because of God's discipline. Because you've been allowed to face certain things. It's like telling your little daughter or son, don't touch the stove, it's hot. Don't touch the stove, it's hot. But it looks really cool. It's red and it's bright. I want to touch it. Sometimes you have to let them touch it. Sometimes God lets us touch it. So that we learn. It doesn't feel very good when we touch the hot stove. But it's also for curbing our passions. Does anybody have passions that you feel like, oh, I did it again. I don't want to do that, but I found myself just doing it again today. And that is our passion. And God's discipline is a gift of grace that helps us curb those passions. It aims to increase virtue, and as we found in this text, he says, look to Christ. We become, that virtue comes from Christ, who Jesus is and what he's done. That comes more a part of our life. And so although discipline seems pleasant or unpleasant with that negative side to it, its main emphasis is learning and having order in our life. So think of it in this way. If someone were to become a nurse, which I know Christy has become a nurse, she has to order her life by a certain set of rules, and she had to learn those rules in school. Then aren't you thankful that she does? If you were to go and be under her care as a nurse, she follows a certain rule of order to be a nurse. If she steps outside of those rules, she gets fired. And there's a lot of consequences that come with that as a nurse. So it's for the purpose of having our life set around a certain school of thought. So discipline is, Christy had to study those rules. She had to study everything about the body. She had to study what a nurse does, and she orders her whole life around that. And so as believers in Christ Jesus, we enroll in God's school. That's His church. And the end goal is to become like Jesus. And so we order our lives around that. And so discipline is for that purpose. When a person enrolls in God's school. So God disciplines His sons and daughters in two ways from the authority of the Bible. First way is that formative discipline. That's the teaching, the training, and the mentoring. And then this is the part that a lot of us don't really care for or like. If you're like me, you have curbing passions. It's corrective discipline, it's correction, it's setting boundaries, it's consequences, it's God curbing our passions when I want to have that. You know, anybody in here like bacon? Amen. Amen. Oh, now the church gets lively. Bacon. We got a bunch of bacon people. Well, Mom always, whenever she goes out of the state and goes into big cities where there's some Ukrainian stores, she brings back interesting things. And one of the things she brings back was this, you know, pork sausage. And it's so good. But then there was this thing, I hope I pronounce it right, Sala. She knows. Essentially what it is pork fat with a little bit. It's cured in salt and that sort of thing. So I learned that I like that too, just like bacon. At first she thought, oh, I'm going to be able to keep a big chunk of this and nobody's going to touch it. I tasted it and found out I liked it. When we have those things in our life that control us, it could be now in the sense of sin, it could be addictions, it could be anger, it could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be whatever, overeating, bacon. Since, you know, we'll put the conviction on everybody here. You know, you'll have a heart attack if you eat too much bacon. Too much sala. God's discipline helps us curb our passions. So I want us to view discipline in a positive way because God wants us to. He wants us to look at His Word because it's for our good. It's for our correction. It's so we don't get run over. It's so we don't get burned by the stove. So the basis of authority of God's discipline is His Word, of course. And God uses our circumstances to carry out. And just thank God that He is so involved in your life. He doesn't just say, here you are, you're a Christian now. I'm just going to let you spin and do whatever you want to do. He is actively involved in my life and your life on a daily basis. He uses His church leaders. He's established elders and deacons. What's that? Sure.
The reason for that is because starting about 6 days, I remember very vividly going over to my friend's house to spend the night, and his dad had a subscription to Playboy magazine, and he had found them, he brought them out and laid them on the bed. And that was my first introduction to pornography, and turn off and release on. And then I found out that it was something I just couldn't turn off. And then, you know, Courtney and I met in college. I started kind of getting my life back in the right direction, started living for God more. But there came a point where we were just really so frustrated because, you know, we loved each other, we wanted to move forward, we wanted to start a life together, but God would not give us the permission to do so. And I remember talking to her on the phone, and she said, "Rob, I don't understand, you know, what's wrong here? Why we're not getting a signal? If it was right for us to move forward and get married, like, God should give us a signal." And at that moment, like, I couldn't hide it anymore. I had to tell her, and I said, "Courtney, I know why God will not let us move forward in our relationship. I know why we cannot get married." And I told her, and, you know, she was the best thing she ever could. She said, "You know, I'm a child of God. I'm his daughter. I'm a princess in God's kingdom. I don't have to put up with that in my life. I'm sorry, but this is what you're going to carry around. I can't be in the picture." And for the better part of 6-7 months, that was the end of that. And I remember how just defeated and I felt. And I remember just crying out to God and saying, "God, this is the woman that you have set in my life. And this is the woman that you have told me I'm supposed to marry. And this is with every fiber of my being." I said, "I can't keep this in my life. I have to admit this. I have to work on this. I have to give it and lay it before you." And it was a difficult process, but, you know, Mike tutored me through that, and we went for studies, and, you know, it wasn't an easy thing. It took a long time. It took a lot of prayer. It took a lot of studying, a lot of devotion and mentorship and calls, but finally we were able to break free from that. We restored my relationship with Courtney, and now I'm able, you know, I'm always going to fail with the standards that I'm never going to be quite the husband I want to be, but I'm able to be more the husband because of what God did in my life. And so when Mike is talking with you about discipline not being a bad thing, when he's talking about discipline being a freeing experience, being good, and so often this world is falling up, we look at discipline as a bad thing, we look at it as being too harsh, as something we shouldn't do, as negative reinforcement. But for God, for the believer, it is free. And
amen.
God's discipline is the most free thing that you can ever experience in your life. And once you get over the fear of facing God's discipline, you find that it is not nearly as difficult as running away from God.
Yes.
I tried running away from God for years. You know, for over 10 years of my life I tried. And it was more difficult for me to run from God than it was for me to face Him. 10 years of running versus, you know, a year or two of working hard and devotion and prayer. I mean, those two just don't compare. And the reward can, you know, running away is conviction, it's guilt, it's a sense of depression, it's growing self-esteem, it's a feeling of worthlessness. That's your reward. But when you face God's discipline and you embrace it and you accept it, the reward is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
The reward is joy. The reward is happiness. And the reward is knowing that now, when I walk in here and I come to worship with my fellow brothers and sisters, that I'm not pretending to be someone who I'm not. You know, I'm not wearing a fake mask. I am me. And when the people in this church see me, they love me for who I am, sin and all. And that is something that we do not get when we try to run away from God. You know, I remember very vividly, you know, when we make the choice to embrace God's discipline, he'll give us little reminders, he'll give us little signs that say, "You're on the right track." And I very specifically remember, within a couple of weeks after this break, after admitting the sin that I was carrying around in my life, Jennifer came up and she sent a song. And the chorus says, "What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it knows, to me, what it takes to know you're near? What trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?" And when I heard that song, oh my gosh, I just knew. I was like, "God, yes, you are telling me that I'm on the right track. God, thank you. I have embraced your discipline, and you're telling me that this trial that I'm going thank you so much for that. I don't know who needed to hear that. But like I said, from the moment Mike started talking, I just thought, I have to say that. So please, if you're trying to run away from bad discipline, or you're not sure if it's really good for your life, embrace it. Embrace it because it'll bring you freedom, it'll bring you joy, and you will just find a new enjoyment of life that you never had before.
Thank you, Philip. Yes. Amen. At this time, I want to invite the musicians to come. And you might be here today. That's just enough for us. Because God disciplines us as sons and daughters. He loves us so much. And I want to ask this morning if you have a need for prayer in your life and there's something that you're saying, okay, God, I've been fighting against your discipline. I've been on the run. It could be something as small as an attitude towards somebody. It could be something as small as unforgiveness. But all sin is great in the eyes of God because He's holiness. He says without holiness, we can't share with Him. And He invites us to become more like Him. And if you're here today and you've not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step. Because He stretched out His arms and He died in your place for your sins. And He rose again from the grave. He says, Father, forgive them. He says it is finished. And so when we put our faith and trust in what He's done as the Lord and Savior of the universe that has died, was buried, and rose again, we have our first step towards life and towards enrolling into God's program of discipline. And if that's you today, I want to invite you to come down and pray. Or even just raise your hand and somebody will come around you and pray. But whatever it is, it could be eating addictions, it could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be anger problems, it could be bitterness towards parents, something that you've been hanging on to for such a long time of something that happened in your life. Enroll in God's program. Let's stand, and as the worship team leads us in worship this morning, this